Up next, we're going to now turn to Desiree Hellegers in the first of a two-part expose that she's doing. She was up in Anacortes, Washington about a week ago, where you may have heard that there was a kayaktivist-themed, inspired protest of the fossil fuel industry. In particular, there's an oil refinery up there, and they were blocking some of the traffic going into there. She collected field recordings from activists and different people speaking to why they were there. Here's Desiree.
This past week, a global wave of actions under the banner of Break Free saw thousands of people protesting and blockading resource extraction, with waves of accompanying arrests on six continents. As actions unfolded in the United States, from Albany, New York, and Washington, D.C., to Denver and Los Angeles, more than 1,000 activists converged on Anacortes, Washington, to confront the role of big oil in rising global temperatures and sea levels, and to disrupt the flow of oil to the Shell and Tesoro refineries. On Friday, as cars, trucks, and vans arrived at the Kayak Hub just blocks away from Padilla Bay in Anacortes, I spoke with Gregory Sortier, an activist and substitute teacher from Portland who is helping with the gear.
I've been an environmental activist since the late 70s when I started to work for Greenpeace in high school. In the past few years, I've become part of the kayaktivist movement was born in the Pacific Northwest, primarily to take on Shell oil in their Arctic drilling scheme. Right now, I'm primarily working in a support capacity with the Backbone Campaign, who is organizing this great flotilla event.
Yeah, so talk a little bit. You're a substitute teacher. Do you mind talking about some of that?
I've been a teacher now for about 15 years. I primarily did most of my teaching in Los Angeles, 8th grade English in inner city L.A. I also did a lot of activism in Los Angeles around oil companies, toxic waste, cement plants, burning toxic waste. And a variety of other things. I still am working with the World Resistors League in Portland to outreach to students on issues of militarism and increased violence of our military and other militaries around the planet. Oil is a strategic product. It's a strategic product, which means that we will use our military force to defend oil companies around the planet. And anybody who's been awake for the past 20 or 30 years knows that that reality is true. Not just in Iraq, but going all the way back to, you know, Shell's action in Angola, for example, the Niger Delta, and a whole host of other areas as well. Exxon in Indonesia with their death squads, and then our pumping up of all these military weapons into Indonesia, which were used to decimate the Indonesian population during the 70s. Oil, as a substance, some people consider it to be the lifeblood of American industrial production. I think myself and many, many other people are realizing that this bargain that we've made with these huge corporations is negatively affecting every person in this country and also around the world. It's time for us to actually step back and say, why are we fighting wars for oil? Why are we allowing oil companies to continue to pollute our atmosphere, our water, our beautiful lands, and to oppress people in other countries? One of the beauties of kayaktivism is the mobility of the kayaks and the ability of a small ship to stop one of the largest destructive corporations on the planet today. That's one person taking action against a company that is so large it kind of defies imagination.
Friday afternoon, Swinomish Tribal member Shelley Vandiolo with the Community Alliance and Peacemaking Project and Native Studies Leadership Faculty at the Swinomish campus of the Northwest Indian College offered a brief introduction and cultural competence training to prepare non-Native participants for Saturday's Native-led Day of Action.
My good people, good friends, good relatives, thank you for being here on this day. Thank you for your commitment to the earth. Welcome to this place. I am Swinomish. We are Swinomish tribal members. And when we got the call to come out and join the organizations, and there are many that are involved in this important work to protect the earth, I couldn't say no. So I went to all my elders, and I went to all our prayer people, and I asked them to start praying for the safety of us all. We're going to be standing in the face of adversity.
Shortly after the Swinomish cultural competency training, I ran into Portlander Antonio Zamora, and we spoke as kayaktivists continued to arrive from all around the region.
Yeah, I bicycled from Seattle all the way to Deception Pass. Yeah, it was really difficult and strenuous. It was my first bicycle tour, and it was really beautiful just to appreciate the nature, and also being a person who just like says, man, we gotta take action or create dialogue with people. And along the way, you know, you just see how beautiful this our home planet is. It's just a good idea to have positive activism and ethical forward stance on something, you know. So rather than talk about it, be about it. And why I'm here is just it's an opportunity to engage a local community, which this community is linked to or part of a oil refinery. And it's like this oil refinery produces 47% of the oil, fossil fuel energy in the Northwest. So it just makes a lot of sense to come here with a message and share an opportunity of dialogue, not necessarily focus on it's all got to be the action, but more like how can we talk to more people about building a non-violence movement against the fossil fuel industry. No matter it's climate justice, Black Lives Matter, Ayotzinapa, and Napa, housing justice, we all have to work together and make the world a more compassionate place.
I ran into Antonio again later on.
So what are you doing right now, Antonio?
I've been taking a kayak out there for water support. I came back and went in the backbone tent and started building a Zapatista flag in solidarity with the Zapatistas, with the Break Free movement. I believe if we make a just transition, it's going to be a major win for indigenous movements like the Zapatistas, perhaps even the Rojava movement, because they're fighting a colonial war, and the war around the world from this empire it needs oil. And I really want to build this flag for the Zapatistas to embrace their struggle with this movement.
On Saturday, I spoke with Michael Kerrigan, program director for the Community Alliance of Lane County, and we sat and spoke outside of the tent at the center of the Kayaktivist Hub.
Have you been involved in some of the kayaktivism before this?
Yeah, I went down to Coos Bay. It was last summer. We did an action down there. Protesting, they want to put a pipeline going through Coos Bay, bringing fracked gas, and so
the Pacific Connector.
Yes, Pacific Connector. So we had a big action down there, though I wasn't able to take part in the Shell actions in Portland. But we got a great 350 group in Eugene's, very active, very focused, doing really good work. And being in a kayak, I just love being close to the water, and it just adds a special element to it. And also I think it makes the connection between, you know, the water and the land. It's not just about protecting those of us in Eugene and Portland and the forest and the land, but also the sea, the oceans, the creatures who live in there. So it's a really powerful way to take action.
And you were out on the water last night with the Luminarium.
Yeah, holding the Luminarium was just, you know, great fun. Here we are in the middle of, you know, it's dark out, and there was a bunch of us holding signs. I wish I could see what we did. I'll check it out online, but it was just so creative and so much fun. And what I'm really enjoying about the weekend is the creativity of the people who are here. It's just like, I never could have thought of that. These, you know, signs that are, I don't know what kind of, you know, lights they were, but it was like magic.
Did you go down to the blockade on the rails at all?
I haven't been. I'm hoping to do that later. There's a large Eugene group there. And so I'm the backup police liaison for the group. And so I think I'm probably going to be called in to go and stay overnight.
Being in Portland, I can't help but think about Brian Wilson when I when I think about rail actions. Ryan is a testimony to kind of the recklessness of some of these corporations and the military when it comes to moving equipment on the rails, and that there's real risk involved in taking the rail.
The bottom line for these companies and the military is their profits, moving things forward. So if someone loses their legs, so be it. So yeah, people are you know, risking life and limb doing that.
At dawn on Sunday, police arrived on the scene and began making arrests as protesters stood across the road chanting their support for as other protesters were being arrested.
No! I say oil train, you say no! Oil train!
No!
No oil trains!
No!
Within a couple of hours, kayaktivists and supporters were busy at the activist hub downtown, preparing to take to the waters around the Shell and Tesoro refineries. There I ran into Lori King, longtime organizer with Portland Jobs with Justice, who is now retired.
How would you describe the scene this morning?
I would describe the scene this morning as full of people who are very compassionate about trying to make this planet a planet that we can all live on. And people are working very hard, working very collectively, dealing with just getting things done, like getting people coffee, getting people organized for both kayak action and dealing with people who were arrested. Just this morning on the tracks, there are people who are trying to stop oil trains from being able to deliver oil to the refinery. I'm also very concerned about the workers in the factory and workers in general. I'm really a union activist, and so I've been asking a lot of questions about what do the workers think, and what kind of jobs do people think of fighting for the workers. And I think that this whole movement has to be a two-pronged movement, and the same energy that goes into the desire to save the planet for everyone also has to be into a just transition with the same fervor, the same degree of planning. And we have to really figure out concrete ways to have a just transition. And I know there are workshops today on a just transition for the workers in Anacortes. So I'd be very interested in hearing the actual plans. I've talked to many, many workers, and if they had the choice, of course they'd rather do something that is not hurting themselves or the planet. The thing is that it isn't easy to find another well-paying job, and we environmentalists have to really deal with that in the most deep way and not just fluff it off.
Finally, I spoke with Allison Sosa, who was at the event with her two children, ages 3 and 6. I asked her what forms her activism takes.
My regional activism is I'm about 2 miles deep in about 4 different things. I do arts for people. I assist with that. Definitely worker in that sense. But as an organizer, I do work for Coal Terminal in Longview, trying to shut that down. I also am a member of the Mosquito Fleet. I remember talking about saving the planet when I was in kindergarten. Now my sons are in kindergarten, and our world is starting to see adverse effects at a rate faster than we can calculate. And academically, as an agriculture and hydrology student, I see what it should look like and what it really is looking like, and it's scaring me. So I'm not going to stand idly by. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to ever say that something isn't worth my time, because that's all I have, and we're running out of it.
What have been some of the high points for you?
Driving up 20 and seeing my friends at the blockade, and then seeing...
And were your friends locked down?
Yeah. I haven't reached out to anybody yet, because they're doing their thing, and I trust that they will be fine. Chills thinking about it. Like, we did it. We're sending this message. This is it. This is no more. This is the red line in the sand. We're not gonna stand idly by. We really, really aren't. And that's the most inspiring thing.
You've been listening to the voices of activists participating in last week's Break Free event in Anacortes, Washington. This has been Desiree Hellegers for the Old Mole Variety Hour.
And the punchlines are resoundingly unfunny. For those trapped in this architecture of easy money. And I feel like this could all come to no good. The kids who